We're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers hotline from Fieldhouse Files. Our friend Scott Agnes is here on WREF. Scott, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, really appreciate you coming on. Right now, we're trying to stop the bleeding for the Indiana Fever, losing two in a row, despite Caitlin Clark coming back. And yesterday was a really, really tough loss. 80-61 against Golden State at home. And people are, I guess, a little bit disappointed, because when Caitlin Clark returned from the groin injury, I think everyone thought that was going to be the solution to all the problems. Turns out, not so much.
Yeah, not exactly, right? Because you got to realize she's been out for the last couple of weeks. And the challenge in talking with them even today at practice is that they've talked about, yeah, while it's been disjointed on the court, keep in mind it's been disjointed who's been in the lineups and who's been around. Like, it wasn't until this last game that they got Caitlin back. And Demiris Dantas, their backup center, has been away with the national beat on the boards, allowing 10 offensive rebounds in the second half against the Valkyries to turning it over like you do six times in the second quarter, where you only score 9 points. If shots aren't falling and offense is a little disjointed, I think we can all tolerate that. It's them talking about after the game, where's our competitive fire? We didn't bring it today. That I have an issue with, no matter even what level of basketball we're talking about.
You know, Scott, looking at where the Fever are after Caitlin Clark's injury, even after the really tough loss against the Valkyries, I think a lot of people are excited to see her back, and we'll talk about the game tomorrow against the Dream. How would you evaluate Caitlin Clark's performance in her first game back from the groin injury? Specifically, how did she look?
Yeah, I would say she was just fine. Nothing memorable either way, and I think that's just fine. You wanted to see her endurance, and that was the biggest thing I would say that she was fighting through, asked out as expected, you know, about 4 or 5 minutes into the game to get a breather. Because that's the other thing I try to keep in mind with this group is it's not just coming back to any team. It's coming back to a group that wants to run it at any opportunity. And if anything, part of their struggles is they haven't been able to run as often as they would like at the juncture. So I'd say she was okay. And the fact that she made it out okay, both with that groin and also she had a late tweak of her ankle. She came out of that fine, was at practice here today. I thought all in all, it worked out just well, just okay for her.
Again, Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files is here on WREF. The Brinker's Jewelers phone line, Brinker's Jewelers, can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lloyd Expressway in Evansville, tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. Aaliyah Boston took a step back last night, 6 points, 6 rebounds. She was 2 for 8 from the field, but she's been excellent this season, especially in the last few games when Caitlin Clark's been out. They've gotten a little bit more scoring down low out of Aaliyah. So what went wrong for her? Because I feel like everyone talks about Caitlin Clark, but they need Boston to really be at her best for this team to reach their full potential.
For sure. And she's been probably the most consistent player, I would argue, throughout this season. Much better coming into this season, much more prepared about what to expect and what she could do. And that in large part is the reason why she's an all-star starter for the second consecutive year. But I just felt like they struggled getting it past that initial line of defense, right? So one of the things I know fans are upset with the way in which they're utilizing Caitlin at this point and playing her off the ball more. And that's a position she's just not used to, because she's used to being the ball dominant player with setting the offense and such. But because of that, you haven't seen the 1-5 pick and roll with Aaliyah that's worked out so well. You haven't seen the ball whipped around the arc and then thrown inside to play an inside out as much as you would like. And so there was a combination, I thought, of that. And then more than that, too, is when they did get it inside, it felt like Boston and Howard rushed it or didn't make the right play. They burned a lot of shots underneath that were just off and going against 3 and 4 defenders when they maybe should have kicked it out. I am not worried whatsoever about Aaliyah. I think that was just a bad game overall for the Fever against the Valkyries. But you're right. For this team to have the playoff success that it envisions, Aaliyah's got to be that consistent player that she has been throughout most of this season.
You know, you're looking at the game for tomorrow, playing the Dream. Now, they've beaten the Dream once, but all the other games that they've played against Atlanta, they've been losses, and it's a team that's only a few games ahead of them in the Eastern Conference standings. How do you feel as though the Fever match up against Atlanta in what feels like a pretty big game for tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, really difficult one, a physical one. This is their last regular season game against the Dream, which is a little bit odd because they're not just yet at the halfway point of the season, and they'll have their season series with the Atlanta Dream already wrapped up. You just never know the way in which a schedule will act out like that. I remember the Pacers played the Bucks 5 times, I think, before January 2 seasons ago, when they haven't even played all the teams even once to that juncture. But they're going to try to jam up Caitlin Clark. They're going to make life difficult, just like every team seemingly has. They got a couple great players inside. Alicia Gray's been strong for them. So the Valkyries game is the one you got to have, Brad. You have to take advantage of that, knowing you have this game with the Dream coming up. And then after Sunday's game against Dallas, which will be a great one nationally seen on ABC, is you have 2 road games in tough environments, going to Boston to play Connecticut in a special game at the Garden, and then the defending champs in the New York Liberty. That gets you to All-Star break where you can't even relax because it's Indy's All-Star weekend. So that's the challenge this Fever team. They're playing through fatigue right now and really just need a break and need practice time to do and get back on the page that they will all need to turn to.
Now, Scott, I want to shift over to the Pacers, and right now NBA is in off-season mode, but off-season mode is not necessarily off-season mode for you, because trying to figure out who's actually going to be on this team for the Pacers, Miles Turner to the Bucks was maybe the biggest surprise in the entire NBA off-season so far, and except for maybe the Mavericks winning the NBA draft lottery and getting Cooper Flagg. So he goes to the Bucks, and now there's some drips and drabs information coming out on what happened behind the scenes. It turns out maybe the Pacers didn't even have an opportunity to get him. I heard through the grapevine that it was a good faith negotiation, but ultimately it seemed like he wanted to be a Buck.
Yeah, we're still painting that full picture at this juncture. That's what Kevin Pritchard had to say in terms of they felt like they made their initial offer and wanted to have a real negotiation here. But after that initial offer with Miles Turner's agent, Austin Brown of CAA, they never heard back. And what Kevin had to say was they found out, just like everybody else, through Shams' tweet that he was going to the Bucks. Nobody across the league expected the Bucks to do what they did to open up the cap space, and they did so by waiving and stretching Lillard at $113 million. You'll often see teams stretch players much less salary, like the Pacers did many years ago with Monte Ellis, for example. I think that was a cap hold of like $4 million over the next 5 years. This will have much greater at $23 million, I think, over the next 5 years. And so how I view it, as we're still putting the pieces together here, Brad, is that Pacers made an offer that was kind of upsetting, or Miles Turner didn't feel valued. So what do you do with your super agent like he has? You make calls and tell teams, hey, look, he might be more available than you knew about. Reconsider all your options. And when the Bucks heard that, they said, okay, maybe we do need to waive and stretch a guy like Lillard, who's on an Achilles injury and will not play next year anyway. And so that was something none of us saw coming, and just speaks to the desperation, too, I think, of the Bucks in trying to capitalize on this moment with Giannis and also trying to keep him in Milwaukee.
All right, Scott, so we're talking about the Pacers here and how they're trying to roster or put together their roster with Miles Turner having gone to the Bucks. Now there's some rumors or some buzz or some white noise, whatever you want to call it, Athlon reporting that the Pacers might be a contender to land Kevin Love off of a buyout. Love just traded to the Utah Jazz. Now, he is a fraction of the player that he once was. Would that make any sense for Indiana amid Miles Turner going to Milwaukee?
Huh. That one's definitely out of left field, and Athlon doesn't report anything, so they're definitely aggregating somewhere.
Fair enough.
There, because they're one that often takes my work, I know for sure. But the trouble with Kevin Love is he just hasn't contributed much at all in the last couple seasons. And so what the Pacers – he'd be better at filling the James Johnson role, I could see, if you're looking to get a different voice there. Although I would argue at this point, especially with a gap season next year, is let's see other voices rise up. As good as James did inside that locker room, and no one outside the locker room will ever have a full understanding of how valuable he was, I think that next year might be a time when you lean on other voices and such and don't burn a roster spot doing so. But with Kevin Love, I don't see him at a guy at this age of at 36 and at this point in his career. Look, he played 10 minutes per game last year. Pacers need a starter they can count on for 25 to 30 minutes per game next year. So for me, I don't think it makes sense whatsoever. You need a dependable every night type of guy. And to me, he'd be a nice role player that could come in as a third string backup at this point.
Scott, you're the man. I really appreciate you taking the time, giving us some insight on both the Fever and on the Pacers. Hey, I've got one more thing to float your way. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you that Caitlin Clark didn't make the WNBA edition of 2K, the cover? And it was Angel Reese instead.
Yeah, I think a lot of that could be maybe NBA 2K wasn't willing to reach, you know, whatever her number is, right? She's in demand type of player, a much higher value than an Angel. I was more surprised that Angel made it than Caitlin did not.
Fair enough. That way. I can see that.
Because there's 25 plus other players better than her. The trouble is you're going to, or not the trouble. What you're leaning on there is the exposure, the marketing, her following online, which is fantastic. So I was more surprised you don't have maybe a Sabrina, a Brianna Stewart from the defending champs, which you'll often see, or a defending MVP in Asia Wilson, more likely than not. They're going towards that younger audience. I do not know if Caitlin was even offered it, but I was very surprised that it was Angel their choice and not about 20 others.
The memes online were rampant, I will say that, afterwards. But, hey, that's what social media is for. That's Scott Agnes of Fieldhouse Files. You can find him, on social media, but also listen to his podcast, read his newsletter, the Substack, everything for Fever and Pacers. It's right there, Scott Agnes, Fieldhouse Files, right here on WREF. Scott, thank you again. Really appreciate it, and talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. With that, we take a step aside. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on WREF 97.7 FM. The Ref, always the right call.